as mere science, they are thought that has not stood the test of time. I give scholars of repute in their day pride of place in my pages, no matter that some of their thinking has fallen by the wayside. Today, we think of race as a matter of biology, but a second thought reminds us that the meanings of race quickly spill out of merely physical categories. Even in so circumscribed a place as one book, the meanings of white race reach into concepts of labor, gender, and class, and images of personal beauty that seldom appear in analyses of race. Work plays a central part in race talk, because the people who do the work are likely to be figured as inherently deserving the toil and poverty of laboring status. It is still assumed, wrongly, that slavery anywhere in the world must rest on a foundation of racial difference. Time and again, the better classes have concluded that those people deserve their lot. It must be something within them that puts them at the bottom. In modern times, we recognize this kind of reasoning as it relates to black race, but in other times, the same logic was applied to people who were white, especially when they were impoverished immigrants seeking work. Those at the very bottom were slaves. Slavery has helped construct concepts of white race in two contradictory ways. First, American tradition equates whiteness with freedom while consigning blackness to slavery. The history of unfree white people slumbers in popular forgetfulness, though white slavery, like black slavery, moved people around and mixed up human genes on a massive scale. The important demographic role of the various slave trades is all too often overlooked as a historical force. In the second place, the term Caucasian, as a designation for white people, originates in concepts of beauty related to the white slave trade from Eastern Europe, and whiteness remains embedded in visions of beauty found in art history and popular culture. Today, most Americans envision whiteness as racially indivisible, though ethnically divided. This is the scheme anthropologists laid out in the mid-20th century. By this reckoning, there were only three real races: Mongoloid, Negroid, and Caucasoid, but countless ethnicities. Today, however, biologists and geneticists, not to mention literary critics, no longer believe in the physical existence of races, though they recognize the continuing power of racism, the belief that races exist and that some are better than others. It took some two centuries to reach this conclusion, after countless racial schemes had spun out countless different numbers of races, even of white races, and attempts at classification produced frustration. Although science today denies race any standing as objective truth, and the U.S. Census faces taxonomic meltdown, many Americans cling to race as the unschooled cling to superstition. So long as racial discrimination remains a fact of life, and statistics can be arranged to support racial difference, the American belief in races will endure. But confronted with the actually existing American population, its distribution of wealth, power, and beauty, the notion of American whiteness will continue to evolve as it has since the creation of the American Republic. The History of White People. Chapter 1. Greeks and Scythians. Were there white people in antiquity? Certainly some assume so, as though categories we use today could be read backwards over the millennia. People with light skin certainly existed well before our own times. But did anyone think they were white, or that their character related to their color? No, for neither the idea of race nor the idea of white people had been invented, and people's skin color did not carry useful meaning. What mattered was where they lived. Were their lands damp or dry? Were they virile or prone to impotence, hard or soft? Could they be seduced by the luxuries of civilized society, or were they warriors through and through? What were their habits of life? Rather than as white people, Northern Europeans were known by vague tribal names, Scythians and Celts, then Gauls and Germani. But if one asks, say, who are the Scythians, the question sets us off down a slippery slope. For over time, and especially in earliest times,